pass. It falls for D'Agostini! Sankey tees it up and scores! Woo! Zach Sankey! Gavor Djarbian for Nacho Larrage! It's Nacho! But he's got Larrage. It's Yaniv Bazine! An exclamation point! The man who will not stop scoring! Jones heads it down, and it's pounded in! The captain, Jake Ashford! The green lead! That's Clapton!
Hey, this is United in Green. We're back again. Tonight we have some special guests, but before we get to them, we're going to welcome back our returning champion, Tyson. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It was beautiful, if cold, up here in northern Vermont, but it wasn't snowing like it was yesterday. So, you know, minor improvements.
That was a little bit of BS, if you ask me. Like, we had 70 degree weather the day before and then snows. You know, I'm kind of stuck in the OR, so we have no windows every day. And when I went outside to leave from work, I was just like, what the hell? So, but we had a nice little meetup yesterday at Zero Gravity Brewing, and our other host here, Dan, you'll remember him from such hits as Talking Tactics with Coach Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. Excited to shoot the shit with you folks as always.
Man, Dan gets on the main pod. It's pretty awesome.
My life's trending upwards. It really is, you know.
You got the double gig now, man. It's fantastic.
Still don't pay me, but that's okay.
That's okay. Well, I'll talk to the United Green Finance Department and see what we can do for you. We kind of have Dan on retainer, so it's a call up at any moment for him. We'll get into next. We'll just introduce our special guests, both former Vermont Green players, doing their work now in the USL Championship. I'm going to go to Nathan Messer first. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Any day playing professional soccer is a good day, so definitely can't complain.
How's weather down there in Rhode Island? Are you back in Rhode Island yet?
Yeah, we're back now. It's kind of a trip, you know. You go away down south, and it's like summer weather, and then you come back up here to Rhode Island, and it's definitely starting to get warmer and warmer. But today was a cold day, to be honest. So honestly, I would like it to get a little warmer, but it's slowly getting there. I think it's a little warmer than Burlington right now, but it's definitely not too. Not hot enough, to be honest.
Yeah, I'll be down your way. I'm going down for the Revs Miami game on Saturday, so I'll be down your way and hopefully visiting some friends in Providence while we're at it. My wife's over here making faces at me. Our other special guest, I think, are you guys still doing the podcast? We'll get to that later, but good friend of Nathan Messer's, and also former Vermont Green player and the holder of one of my favorite goals of all time, Vermont Green goals of all time, and also our first returning guest, Dave Neugbo. How you doing, man?
I'm good, you know, just living in Birmingham, you know.
And, you know, it chill as ever, too. Just low key chill as ever, man.
Yeah.
We can get right into the podcast. It's great to see you guys again, and great to see Tyson and Dan. Always love having conversations with you guys. Basically, our podcast today is going to be a little bit about, you know, transition from playing pre-professional leagues into the championship in the upper leagues, and I know Dan will have some tactical stuff to probably ask, or just maybe just to fanboy out a little bit, but I'm gonna let Tyson ask the first question today since he's the returning champion. So,
all right. So, I mean, really, my first question is for you, Deba, because you are almost at 45 games played in the championship. You know, do you feel like you've like fully acclimated to the league? You know what you're doing every single game. It's not like, you know, when I'd have to imagine when you were going into your first season last year that, you know, the pace of the game has to increase and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, how comfortable are you feeling being in that starting lineup?
Yeah, I would say I feel fully acclimated. And definitely, yeah, the first few games were a bit of a transition. I think around maybe like midway of last year, I started, you know, really feeling comfortable. But I think at this point, like, you know, obviously every game is going to have their difficulties because there's no easy team in this league. But I think for the most part, yeah, I definitely feel like I'm at the level and always ready to compete.
So on that, like, when you made that first transition into that higher level, did you find the level of competition to be tougher, or were you pretty comfortable with with your position, with knowing your own skill and knowing where you were at in your life? Like, I didn't have any upper leagues I played in my sport when I was younger. So, you know, I went to college for a second, but didn't really get to play. But you know, I was nervous going into college, but I can't imagine what it's like making the step from that pre-professional league where you're playing with other college peers to that next level. Were you pretty confident in your skills that you could play at that level going in?
Yes, I definitely was. I think I was, like, at the time, I think hungrier than anything. I was more hungry than, like, nervous. Like, I think the hunger overrode any feeling of nervousness or timidness I might have had. But I always just remembered, like, telling myself that, like, it's going to get easier eventually. So I just, you know, kind of went in every day, put my head down and just took everything for what it was. And I still am. Like, it's still, you know, challenging every day, but it's, you know, it's soccer. So you got to just put your head down and love what you do. So that's pretty much how I've been taking it.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, Mester, same question for you, because I know that initially after the first season you went away and then you came back to us in the second season and played a few games too. So your transition's a little bit different and you're coming into a brand new club. And actually kind of came in a little bit. You were one of the later announcements, but kind of slotting right in, like hitting the bench and then getting into the cup game and making that debut. So how was that transition for you? Because there are a lot of players that sure had played at a higher level, but were also coming from USL2, coming and, you know, you even got to play with one of your ex-team Vermont Green teammates too. So
for sure. Like I definitely feel like it is a major step up. However, like Deba, I was extremely hungry, and I think that there's obviously feelings of like I was obviously nervous at many points, but I felt so hungry that like there's a moment in time where it just like it just happened. Like at the end of the day, it's just a game, and once you get settled in and maybe like the first few minutes go by, like you get adjusted, and at the end of the day, it's just soccer and you play like you know how to kind of. And like for me personally, like I've always like Deba and I talk a lot about this, but we always talk about our, like you mentioned college for us. I think that adjustment period was maybe even harder for us. Like the adjustment from youth soccer to college soccer, just because like we went from being like 17-year-old boys to like all of a sudden the physicality of playing with college players, and like playing with guys like from a physicality standpoint, like I felt like I was nowhere near. I remember thinking at the time, like I felt like skill wise maybe I could hang in there, but it was like I was getting so tired so quickly. I was weaker, like all these things. And at least with the professional level, like on that sense, like I felt like I was ready, you know, like the physicality wise, like I didn't feel like there was much of a difference. And then, you know, at the end of the day, like I trust my skill set, and I feel like that, you know, helped me get over like whatever feelings of anxiety or nervousness I had. Yeah.
That was a fucking banger of a goal you had too against Charlotte. So that was an awesome way to get on the score sheet that way.
Yeah, it was definitely an awesome feeling, and definitely like good, you know, when you're kind of competing for. Right now, I'm kind of competing for, you know, like I'm slowly building my way up into the team, you know, coming from a guy that's maybe not getting as many minutes as I want to, like getting a goal is obviously huge. So, yeah, it was honestly an awesome feeling. So just like I couldn't celebrate like I wanted to, honestly, because, you know, we were it was I think we were 2-1 down and we just equalized. And, you know, it's a USL League One team, and probably like on paper, like we should beat them, so like I couldn't really celebrate that much, but yeah, it was still an awesome feeling.
So I got a bit more of a specific question. It's kind of for both of you. How much, I mean, I think as observers and understanders of how these leagues work, we understand that, you know, higher level leagues are going to have higher level play, but what's most interesting to me in these changes is just the general technical ability as well as the speed of play that changes when you go up a league or, you know, how, wherever you go. Is that something you guys have experienced? Is that something you've had to adapt to, similar to the physicality you were talking about earlier, Nate?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think everything's just a little bit better. Like, I think, I heard somebody say this, but every level you step up to, I think is everything gets just a little bit cleaner, a little bit tidier, you know, like everything, someone like the player's first touch is just a little bit better. The speed of play just a little bit better, the ideas a little bit better, everything for the strikers, the finishing a little bit better, and all that accumulates obviously, and you have just a much cleaner game. And I'm sure like as you move up, I feel like that's the kind of difference you'd see from maybe USL Championship to MLS, MLS to the top five leagues, you know, like every player here can play, but like there is just the little details, I feel like.
That's, I mean, it's incredible. Just reflecting on my time as a coach, you know, I have teams that guys are looking to go off to college now. And that first trial, that first, you know, field day with whatever team they're going for, whether it's an MLS next team or wherever it is, they always come back to me and they say, I thought I could compete day one with these guys, but they're doing everything that I'm doing, and they're doing it a step faster, a half step faster, a little bit cleaner. And so it's interesting to hear that that's still applicable even in the professional leagues in the US.
Diva, did you have any of the same type of feelings?
Yes. I think like another thing that I might have noticed is people, like, they have their specialities like mastered. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Like, people have their what makes them stand out, and then they use that to, I guess, the best of their ability, and that's what makes them who they are. There are some really crafty players and some who are just like physically insane, like super quick, and then, you know, if you mix that with like technical ability, you have a top player. So there's like, I think, a lot of those in this league, and yeah, just a lot of people who really know how to use their strengths better than, like, I would say in college or any level I've played at before.
So like, on that question, on that answer, actually, like, so when you're approaching your attack in the attacking sense, when you're approaching a defender, and you're is it easier or harder for you to figure them out now? Does it take longer to kind of figure a guy out through the course of a game, like to the point where you're like, oh shit, I've got this guy now. I know what his move is, you know. Or that's
Great question. I'm sorry. Can you finish your question, please?
No. That's perfectly fine. I was just going to kind of expound on that, but like, is it easier to figure a guy out or harder, like throughout the game, the course of the game? I mean,
I think, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think you also, like Nathan said, like details also tie into, like, I guess, knowing your opponents as well. And that gives you a certain type of edge. So there's obviously stuff that we might not have had access to. Like, we have Y-Scout now where we can, you know, prepare yourself for a game and see, I guess, what a player does. And, yeah, definitely, like, you know, you can tell yourself and educate yourself throughout the game on a player. At least I can definitely do that better than I probably would have before. Like in college, I'm probably just like thinking so much about like my own performance and not really enough about what's really around me. But definitely, like, I guess the game education that I've gotten since making the jump has kind of like taught me those things. Like, you had to be really tuned into like small details, like what foot somebody is, stuff like that. And then like you can press them a certain way, you know, stuff like that.
I guess that sort of leads me into another question is, I mean, both of you are obviously collegiate players, USL2 players, and now you've taken the step up. What's the level of preparation like at these clubs? Is it something that you've seen, you know, just more resources or more time commitment now that you're playing professionally?
It's definitely extensive. We definitely, like Diva said, like we like us as individual players are sometimes expected to use Y Scout to kind of maybe scout out the player that you're supposed to come up against. But also we do a ton of film, at least here in Rhode Island. Like we will completely analyze a team from top to bottom, how they press, we'll split up days where one day we'll focus on how they kind of how they defend. So from front to back, how they kind of press, what their maybe weaknesses are at the back. And then next day we'll kind of look at film on how they how they attack. If you know, they're a possession-based team, if they're kind of more direct. And what we kind of do is, you know, we'll use, like, we'll do the film in the morning and then apply, like, kind of look at different scenarios on the field after that. And then the last day is obviously the set pieces, if they have any kind of trick plays and stuff like that. But yeah, it's pretty extensive. In my time in college, William and Mary was not as, we didn't do as much film, I'd say. Part of that was, like you said, like resources, like we didn't have as many coaches. To be fair to my coaches at William & Mary, they did for the most part try and like analyze every team we played, and we did do some type of film, just not as detailed. At Providence, our film, like the film we did, was actually pretty extensive. Like we did a lot of film. We had I think one or two extra coaches than I did at William & Mary. And it wasn't as like as detailed as here in Rhode Island, but it was pretty good, and I'd say the coaches did a very good job of that.
I don't have much insight as that. I was a fringe D2 player in college, so I got, you know, the cell phone passed to me at one of their free kicks that made ESPN or something, like, figure out how to defend this. So that's good to hear.
go ahead, Tyson. Sorry, I just.
Well, I was going to say, I just wanted to know, do you guys still keep up with, you know, not just obviously you, Nate, we're talking about how you and Diva still talk a lot, but do you guys still talk to a lot of the other teammates that you had in your seasons here at Vermont Green?
Yeah, from time to time, you know, just like slide up on like an Instagram story or something every once in a while, but.
Yeah. You We try, like, I'd say we do a good job of, like, we'll try and watch, like, their games, like, a lot. Like, we try and watch their games, yeah, and keep up, like Diva said, like, if something good happens, we'll congratulate on it, and sometimes from time to time we'll talk, yeah, for sure.
Nice.
I do have a, I actually have a question from one of my buddies who happens to be a season ticket holder in Rhode Island. And he wanted to know what Coach Smith's, how his tactical game plan, changes or doesn't change throughout the game. Like, is it purely dependent on opponent, or is he pretty strict in his style that he wants to play?
I'd say we have our style here, and Coach Smith and the rest of the coaching staff are, you know, they definitely have a certain type of way that we want to play and we want to assert ourselves in the game. However, like every game, like, you know, sometimes different things happen in a game, and you might be on the back foot, you might be on the front foot, and you have to adjust, you know. And I definitely think Coach Smith, like, kind of will adjust, you know, in the game to, like, whatever needs there might be, you know. So I think that, like, honestly, like to be fair, like, pretty much like any coach, you know, like, you know, if the game plan isn't working, then, you know, like, you as a coach, you have to switch things up, and that's one of the tasks of being a good coach. You know, it's to try and figure out what's going on and switch things up. And I definitely think Coach Smith does that. You know,
and it same for you, Diva. Like, it do you have a set system that you guys are married to, or is there a lot of on the fly changes?
There's definitely a lot of on the fly changes. Because just like Nathan said, like, every game throws something different at you. And, you know, we have like a big diverse group of players who can fit so many different styles of formations. So, yeah, we change a lot, but usually it's for the better, I would say.
And do your how do your coaches, each of you, kind of compare to the way that Pfeiffer coached?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. I would say Pfeiffer was more hands off in terms of, I think Coach Pfeiffer had a very, like, he knew that we were a very talented group of players, and that, you know, against most teams, we were probably going to be like have probably more of the talent. And that I think one of his big things was to kind of get players to a point where they could fully express themselves. And I think he, like, you know, that's why I think so many of us, like, really enjoyed our time playing with Vermont Green, is because we kind of played how we wanted to play, you know, as players on the field. Pfeiffer is definitely a guy who's very emotional too, in the game. But I always thought that tactically he wanted us to play in a way that the players wanted to play. You know, like, he was a true players manager. Like, I feel like
it seems that he gets like that out of every team he's coached so far, Vermont Green. And it's just like, it's kind of amazing to me that, like, you are allowed to kind of play like that in USL too, right? I mean, you're able to get that group of guys, and you have them for such a short period of time where you're like, just play your game and go out there and have fun with it. But still, you know, have that end goal in mind, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Diva, what did you think? What did you think of the style of Pfeiffer?
I think he was obviously laid back, just like you said, but I think he was also very clever in the way he set up the team. He used like the connections that people had.
That's true. You know what I
mean? Yeah, like he would put people close to each other based off their connections. And for instance, like he put Nathan at left back, put me at right wing. He's an attacking fullback. You know, he's crossing the ball to me like 10 times a game. Like that's a cheat code. And that's his. So, you know, and then, yeah, he, I think, set the team up in a way for us to succeed and obviously let us just express ourselves. So you can't really ask for more from a coach. And that's why we were so successful that first year, especially.
And did you guys ever like talk to maybe some of the other younger players who maybe came up through the USL2 ranks as well, who you're now, you know, teammates with or know, and just kind of like, do you guys compare like the different experiences that maybe, you know, they may have had with some other, you know, USL2 team versus what you guys got to have here in Vermont? I know that, you know, not to brag, but with the US Open Cup run that our team had, or the Green had this year, it seems like it kind of blew up a bit on, you know, soccer social media here in the US. And I don't know, I maybe it's just me being super braggy about it, but, you know, I felt really proud of all the fans who came out and stuff like that. We're able to just like have this super cool experience that you guys also got to have when you were up here. But I mean, do you guys talk about like the different experiences that you had in your USL2 teams?
Yeah, for sure. Like, honestly, like a lot of people ask me about it. So like, you know, I obviously love to talk to people about their experiences at different USL2 teams, but like most of the time, like people will find out I played for Vermont Green and will ask me a lot of questions based off that. Like, oh, like, because to be honest, like I truly think like Vermont Green is probably one of, if not the most famous like USL2 team at this point. And so like so many people have heard of it. Like it's what I get. Like, I mean, in terms of my soccer experience, it's what I get the most questions about, you know? Yeah, people definitely ask me all the time about my experience at Vermont Green. And the fact that also like Nate Silvera is also on the team, like, you know, it means like, you know, like people will ask even more questions about it. But yeah, especially like you said, like doing the Open Cup run, like it felt like more and more, like more people were paying attention. And I was definitely getting a lot of questions like, you know, do you think Vermont Green will make it? Like, we'll win the next game. And I kept saying yes, because I truly thought Vermont Green would make it far. And yeah, I mean, it was definitely cool to see, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. There were a few of my teammates who would come up to me randomly in the locker room, like up the green. Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah. So since we're talking about the U.S. Open Cup, I'll say the thing that a lot of people don't really want to say. You know, the refereeing situation for those games was I'll be political about it, was not ideal, right? Like, I know getting guys to come up to Vermont for an Open Cup game is tricky, but when I'm on the sidelines and I personally know both of the ARs from my beer leagues on Wednesday night, it's a bit tough for me to say they're getting the best of the best. What has been the officiating like at the level that you guys play at? I'm very interested to hear about that. And you guys can be diplomatic, you could be nice, it's okay, but I'm just really interested to hear from you folks.
I think, like, honestly, there's going to be good and bad refs at any level. You know, if they're calling stuff for you, you think they're good.
Yeah.
If they're not, like, it's had a few games within the last 2 years where, like, I've left a game being like, I don't know how this guy got this gig, but, you know, like I always kind of feel like that.
I always feel like at every level you get to, you always think the refs are shit, like no matter what. So,
yeah.
But like it, to be fair, like, yeah, it's just, I think it's just like, I don't know if they, you know, at this point, I don't even know if they actually are. I just think that at every level, you know, when the call goes against you, you're obviously going to be disappointed. And like, yeah, so I think, yeah, I mean, still at this level, like, you definitely, you know, we feel like there are definitely games where we feel like we've been hard done by, when probably in reality, we probably haven't, you know, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah, it's just interesting. You know, the U.S. soccer, I don't know if you folks are aware of this, but they sort of changed the way that they do referee certifications. Mm-hmm. And the bar is actually quite a bit lower than it was a couple of years ago. So that's why I was asking. But yeah, it's good to know that, you know, my feelings are validated at least by two professional players. So it's, yeah, I'm happy.
All right. So I'm going to get a question in. What's going on with Hot Take FC? Are we going to get another episode anytime soon? It seems to have ended in summer of 23.
Diva can answer that question.
It was, you know, it was just getting very tough with like all the time difference, like even with our third co-host as well, like moved out to the West Coast and stuff. We were all over the place, you know. Nathan was going on trials all the time, and we just sometimes couldn't, you know, find a good date, and eventually things just kind of fizzled. And I think we're all kind of okay with it, you know. It was fun when it lasted, but yeah. I don't know.
We
so you guys are suffering from success right now. You're just succeeding too much.
No, for sure. I agree with Diva. I also think like there comes a point where we're not in a position where we're as capable of saying our opinions. Like, we're not just like some like just college kids anymore. And like, you know, like we were making episodes on maybe like we can't make an episode on like the MLS, for example, because like you never know if you like end up on the same field as them. Like, you know, like we felt like it was probably time to just, you know, focus on our careers. And maybe I think it's fair to say that we still love doing podcasts and stuff. And we still love like recording and in general, like we love talking about soccer, but probably off air is better for us right now than on air.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Yeah. Just going and pinging around, you know, Diva, now that you're actually, you know, based in the South, being able to be, you know, a whole lot closer to home, do you get, you know, family members, friends that you grew up with, stuff like that? Are they able to come out to the games in Birmingham? Is that something that that you get to experience quite a lot?
Yeah. My family, they try to come when they can. Friends too, every once in a while. So it's definitely nice to be able to, you know, have that, because in college it was a bit tougher because, you know, Virginia is just a few states away, and then in Vermont there was like no chance, you know. So yeah, it's definitely nice, you know, to have family at games more often.
Yeah. And Nate, what has it been like to be able to have Nate Silvera there, you know, as kind of someone who you got to spend a couple summers with, and, you know, kind of, has he kind of been there as like a, not like, you know, just like another buddy who you know how he plays, you know how he is in the locker room, just as someone there to be able to kind of, you know, to be there and support both of yourselves?
No, for sure. Yeah. 100%. I mean, you know, like I came in the first day when I was a trialist, and immediately I felt like some sort of, like I was a bit more comfortable than maybe say some of the other guys, because I knew I had Nate Silvera there, who, you know, I got along with great, you know, at Vermont Green, I kept up with and stuff like that. So I definitely felt like it was, you know, it was a plus on my side to have him in the locker room, you know, and yeah, like, you know, even now it's great to have him as you know, a good friend, to have a good friend on the team, you know, like, can't complain. So it was definitely like great to have him there. when I first came in, and to keep on building our relationship as players.
I'm interested to hear from you, Nathan, about what it's like being a part of a newer team, right? I mean, Deba and Nathan, you both were a part of the inaugural season at Vermont Green, but what's it like at RIFC? What's the growing process like there?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It, like, I don't know, like, I feel like I've been through some of this already with Vermont Green. Like, when you as a player, like, it's like a big question you always have is like, what's the fan base going to be like? You know, like, we had no idea with Vermont Green. Like, when Deba and I drove up to Vermont, like, we had really no idea what we were getting ourselves into. How's the organization going to be? Everything. And, you know, by the end of the season, you know, we're getting a packed out Virtue Field. It was like amazing, right? And with Rhode Island, like, it's very similar. Like, you know, like, every game, it's just so cool to meet new fans and like see, like, our inaugural game was awesome, honestly. Like, we, the first game, so many fans there, and it was just great. Like, stayed after for like, I think it was like 30, 45 minutes on the field, just signing autographs, and so cool, you know, just to kind of watch just the club grow. And, you know, they're obviously going to be growing pains, just like there were at Vermont Green, but it's honestly like these two experiences have been so rewarding and fun, honestly. So it's just awesome. Awesome.
Well, we are almost coming up on time, but I'm going to ask you guys each a kind of a final question. My final questions, I'll let these other two guys ask you some final questions too. But my final question is of both of you, favorite moment at Vermont Green. And we'll go with Deba looks like he's looking to the sky, but trying to think, because there's probably a lot of them. Nathan, I'll go to you first to let Deba ponder that a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely know Deba's.
Yeah, I think we all know Deba's.
If he doesn't say that goal, he's a liar. I think it's that win, the win against Western Mass to get us to the playoffs. The only reason why it's I'm thinking in my head, it could be the Lionsbridge win, because like, we went basically back home for that win. At the time, like, we went back down to Lionsbridge, which was like 30 minutes away from William Mary, which we couldn't believe. And, you know, going down there as the eighth seed and winning the game was unreal.
Down a man. Don't forget that part.
Yeah, down a man. Down a man. Like, yeah, like everything being against us and getting the win, like, that was unreal. But yeah, I'd have to say it's the Western Mass game, just because of the fans being there. I'd have to say that game.
All right, Deba, and I think I asked you that night after you hit that goal too. I think I asked you that night. Was it a Vivid? But I asked you if that was a cross or a shot, and you just kind of smiled at me. So
it was both.
Got to put the ball in dangerous positions. It's the only way you're going to score, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I would say the Western Mass game probably my favorite too.
I think for me that that was probably one of my favorite games. Obviously, the U.S. Open Cup win was super, super special, but like, for us as fans and you know, myself, like, that Western Mass game was like that real first taste of like, this is something that's happening. And now I think, and I think I said it a few weeks ago on the podcast too, like, you know, the cat's out of the bag now, man. People recognize what we're building here and what we got going on here. So yeah, I think
it was the quintessential, oh shit, this is real now moment. Yeah.
People are not going to think that we're just the plucky upstart anymore here in Vermont. Yeah.
It's so funny you guys say that, because we were like, just the story of us ending up in Vermont is funny too. I remember like I had decided to go to Vermont, I would say in like like February. I want to say like January or February or so, and kind of the other guys around me were trying to figure out like what they're like. The other guys in our house at the time that we were living in, it was like me, Diva, and a few other guys. We were Alfredo Buzzalongo being one of them too, and actually Alexander Lovengood.
Yeah,
we're four of the five of us ended up at Vermont, but at the time we were all just like I was gonna go to Vermont, and I kind of just asked Diva like, also like, what are your plans for the summer? And I was like, you want to come to Vermont? And he was like, dude, there's no shot I'm gonna end up in Vermont. Like, I'm from Atlanta. Like, there's just no way I'm gonna get up there. And like a few, and then he somehow got in a meeting with Pfeiffer, and like he got out the meeting and was like, I'm going to Vermont. And we were like, we have no idea what we're getting ourselves into. Like, neither of us had ever been like that far north. Like, I didn't even know, like, we didn't know where Vermont was on a map or anything. And then at like, the end of the summer, like, I just look at Diva at Virtue Field, like being interviewed by so many people. And I'm just like, dude, this was the best decision ever.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
Danny, final question.
I mean, I'll take it away from the lower level soccer scene here and just say, who do you have winning the Champions League? Who's going to go all the way through?
Oh boy.
I'd say Real Madrid.
I think that's a safe bet. Yeah.
Like, they beat City. City's the only team that's supposed to be unstoppable. So it has to be them.
That's fair.
I think Madrid too, honestly. I just think they know how to win.
Yeah. I'm hoping, as an Arsenal fan, I'm hoping that Bayern wins it so that we didn't lose to someone who also was going to lose. But, you know, okay. I recognize the powerhouse.
Dan is, as an Arsenal fan, is hoping for Harry Kane to get a fucking trophy. Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. It's wonderful. It's finally happened, Dan.
He didn't win it with Spurs, so that's all I care about.
There you go. Tyson.
So what would both of your pitches be to a, you know, potential college recruit who's maybe looking at Vermont? They haven't really made up their mind yet. I know that obviously this year Pfeiffer has his whole crew pretty much lined up, but, you know, to any kind of really aspiring college player who's looking at Vermont, they haven't really made up their mind. What's your final pitch to them?
I would say, if you can get in contact with the club, maybe just ask some questions. I don't know too much on like what Pfeiffer's plans are, but I think even for somebody going up there to train, it could be a great experience, because once you're in this team, you really don't know how things can go. It's just a matter of like, are you willing to put the club first and, you know, really just get to work? I think that's what it really comes down to in the end.
Yeah. Do you mean like trying to convince a player to come up north, like to play for Vermont Green? Like,
yeah, like if they're like looking at like, you know, some other teams or whatever, right. Like, why would you pitch Vermont versus any other USL two?
I just think the whole experience, like, I don't think you could get a better USL two experience than Vermont Green. You'll play with you know, probably future pros. Like, I mean, every, like, in the past 2 years, like, the team has had a very good amount of guys go to the next level. Not only that, you'll play against, you know, play with some of the best players in the country, like some of the best college players in the country, which is like great preparation for you as for most of the guys playing, you know, college soccer in the fall. And then second of all, like, I just think the whole experience, like, you get nowhere else. The fan experience, like, the, you know, the summers, even in Burlington, like, it's a great area to be in. It's honestly an awesome experience, everything. So there's just an all-around package, I feel like.
Awesome. I think that's a fantastic way to end it right there. It's been awesome talking to you guys. We're going to do a little housekeeping right now. We are the United and Green Podcast. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook if you're my dad. You can also find United and Green on any of your favorite podcast platforms and on our Green Mountain Boys website, which is greenmountainboys.com. You can also find us on our partner's website. We're very, very happy to be partnered with the Blazing Musket. And they are a blog site that covers New England sports, specifically soccer. They cover Hartford. They cover Rhode Island FC, our Vermont Green, and a little MLS club called The Revolution. So, I'll be down there, hopefully getting to see Messi play on Saturday. And I'll be talking to our friend, Sam Minton while we're down there. Sam writes for the Blazing Musket. Outside of that, 717 Birmingham, Alabama, these two guys are going to meet, head to head, their first matchup against each other. We'll see how that goes. And then Labor Day weekend, I believe, comes back to Rhode Island. RIFC is not yet in their new home stadium, but will be for next season. But until then, I just want to say thank you to both of you guys. It's been awesome talking to you guys. Haven't gotten to see either of you guys in a few years, but doesn't look much has changed. So that's fantastic too. Any final words from our two favorite hosts here?
It's great to have. I'll give a little plug for Vermont Green here. You know, that not that I need to, but it's so great that we've created a community in and outside of Burlington where guys like Nathan and Deba are happy to come back and talk shop about a team that they haven't played for in a couple of years. So, big ups to Sam and all the folks over at Vermont Green for building this.
That's awesome. Yep. So, as long as Tyson's said what he's just said, we're going to say it again. Until we talk to you guys next time, you know, be safe and up the green.
Up the green.
Up the green.
Though nothing, nothing. discover.